Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to an episode of Serious Issues, a comic book podcast. We are nearing the end of the year, and the best thing to do at the end of each year is look back on all the big superhero comic book events. And I've reassembled the official MEC, the Marvel Event Crew. It's myself, Andrew Levins. I'm recording in from Sydney, Australia. And then on the other side, on one other side of the world, in Kentucky, we have Jake Fortier joining us again.
Hey there.
And from the UK, we have Rebecca Hart, who has just set an alarm to wake herself up at 11. Is it 11 p.m. over there?
It's quarter past now, yes.
Okay.
So, morning, everyone. It's all middle morning, middle of the night.
So we're in different time zones, but the one thing that unifies us is that we have all read way too many X-Men comics this year. And so we thought we would get together. We promised it after we recorded a... I don't know if I made you guys promise it to me, or there was a blood oath, an unspoken oath.
I think it was like, yeah, one of them went into the other, so you just have to, really.
Such is the event life of reading comics. But we last reviewed the big Marvel event Empire, which was quite good. And then we moved immediately into the 23 issue strong X-Men crossover event 10, or X of Swords. It's 10 of Swords, right? Roman numerical.
Yeah,
10
it's
of
10
swords.
Of Swords.
Okay. I'm gonna refer to it as X of Swords throughout the episode, I'm sure.
That's fine. I'm sure everyone does.
So I guess we're going to go through the event, and because I would say Empire quite good. I enjoyed it. It was like up and down a bit. There were a few issues in tie-ins that I didn't think were necessary to the event, but there were very few dull moments or moments that I didn't enjoy while reading 10 of Swords, and I wonder if you two feel the same.
Do you want to go first, Rebecca?
I think I agree on Empire, but I think you can tell how much the pandemic affected it, because I think a lot of the judders with Empire were probably sort of pandemic related, where they cut out things like Thor tie-in.
Yes.
Still, we should have sort of rounded it out.
Still lamenting that we didn't get the Ram V Thor book. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, we will always be lamenting that. But on the 10 of Swords thing, I think maybe they had a little bit too much time to think about it because of... and then they added stuff, didn't they? And I think there's a few... So I love it. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a few pacing issues when you look at it as a whole, like how long the build-up was versus the exposition of the tournament. But I mean, look, in amongst that, every single chapter was pretty fun. So it was like it reminded me more of reading Avengers No Road Home.
Yes.
Or No Surrender,
which I remember quite fondly.
Where they and yeah, but they did, because they did the same thing. They said you're going to have to buy every X X-Men book. I almost call them X-Files, which shows how tired I am.
Everyone knows X-Men. It's 10 files, Rebecca.
Yeah, right? So you have to buy every X-Men book, but we won't have any others out at the same time. So you end up sort of spending the same amount of money, but if you think about it, a 22-issue event is pretty huge.
Yeah, it's enormous.
I mean, we know King in Black's going to absolutely overshadow that in terms of numbers. But this is, I don't know if we're doing a King in Black.
No, I was going to say that now. There is no fucking way I'm reading King in Black.
We may be the official whatever crew, but there is no way I'm reading all of
King. I have to call in the VEC, the Venom event crew, for that one.
Yeah, I don't know if I made the team. A lot of disposable income.
How many issues are there for that one?
I don't know if anyone's even counted. All it's just, I just sit there and list the ones that I'm getting, and they're just some of the individual tie-ins. So I'm getting the Black Knight one. I'm getting the Iron Man and Doom one, mm-hmm. because it's Chris Cantwell and they're fighting Father Christmas. So everyone should buy that one, really. What other one is there? There's a Valkyrie one. There's... I don't know. There's just millions of them. And that's just the one-off tie-ins. So I don't even know. Then you've got the actual event. There's... I don't know. It's a lot.
Did you read Ten of Swords week to week, or were you like me?
I did, I wasn't going to, but then too many people were too willing to sort of spoil it. And I was always going to buy at least one of the issues each week. And then somebody would be like, oh, you know, you've got to buy Wolverine. Or like, no, Cable's really important this week. And I'm like, I've been doing some overtime, you know, came at exactly the right time. What should I spend the extra money on? Oh, staying up to date with Ten of Swords.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good.
And now that you've read all these series that you weren't keeping up with because they were tying into the event, are there any that you're sticking with? That's the ultimate, goal of these events, isn't it? To make you buy more comics.
I think, in general, I was keeping up with most X-Men before the event. It was only Wolverine and Cable that I wasn't. And I would probably keep reading Cable.
I think Wolverine and Cable are like two of my favorite X-Men books that are of the current crop.
Yeah, I think they have very distinct voices, which is what's nice about them.
But it's funny, I don't appreciate the because Wolverine is written by Benjamin Percy, and yeah. Cable is written by Jerry Duggan. They also write X-Force and Marauders, respectively, and I don't like either of their team books anywhere near as much as Wolverine and Cable.
Yeah, no, I don't either. But I think what I'm going to do when I actually turn to look at what X-Men I'm buying next week, I'm just going to do a massive rejig. I'm just going to stop reading.
I want to get into like what's staying, what are you getting letting go?
Yeah, yeah, we'll do that later.
But first, I want to hear
at the end of the event, yeah.
Jake. What are your overall thoughts of Ten of Swords?
I really like Ten of Swords. I think there's, like Rebecca was saying, there's some definite pacing issues towards the second half of the event. But like that whole like lead up and like the quest to get the 10 swords, and then when they finally do the reveal of like the main villains and who they are and all of that stuff, I really enjoy. Unfortunately, the tournament itself, I wasn't as into. It was still fun. I think I just... reading it week to week and expecting this like big sword tournament, and then you get this like very silly just these random events that keep on happening and as a sub in for that tournament. At first it was there was a slight disappointment just because that wasn't quite what I was expecting. I read through a lot of it in the lead up to recording today, and I definitely view it more favorably now that I kind of know what I'm getting into. But there's still a little bit of disappointment that it wasn't just a straight up like shonen style sword tournament type deal. But yeah, pretty favorable
plenty,
on the event.
Plenty of shonen manga if you do want to scratch that itch. I know you already read a bunch of that too, though. I guess my point of difference is I read it all in the a week ago. I pretty much exclusively read X-Men comics for about a week and a half because I went right back to the beginning of post Hox Pox when Hickman's big X-Men reset finished, and then we had all the introduction of the new series. I stopped reading almost all of them, and so I went back and I caught up on all the books that I could find at King's, and yeah, pretty much just like read like well over 100, maybe even 200 X-Men comics, which was great fun. The way I did it was I would read a run, read up to the current issue of Ten of Swords, then it would be like, okay, next issue is a Hellions issue or a Marauders issue. Then I would go back to number one of Marauders and then read the 16 issues to get there. But I think binging the bulk of the event itself definitely works in its favor, because you don't have this like pent up, like, oh my God, what's going to happen next week? You know, because you do get essentially, yeah, Ten of Swords is, God, how do we condense this? Jake, I feel like you might be able to do the best job. Jake wrote notes for us because Jake knows how bad.
Thank God.
They know how bad I am on this podcast at research.
So Ten of Swords is the latest big X-Men event from Marvel, and it is what happens when the mutants from Krakoa finally make contact with the mutants from Arrokoa. So way, 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 way back, Krakoa and Arrokoa were one island nation called Okara. It got split in half by a bunch of demons. And then the demons took Okara, brought it to their dead world, and Krakoa stayed on Earth. So now,
it's not just like parts of land. The Krakoa and Okara are also sentient beings who miss each other.
yes, they just want to be back together. And as I said before we recorded, the theme of the event is definitely wife guy. So I guess Krakoa is a bit of a wife guy as well. Just wants its other half. So the event starts, and the Excalibur series basically built up Apocalypse connecting back with the other mutant nation. And lo and behold, the way to get to them was through Otherworld, which is its own little offshoot explanation. But basically, when they finally do meet up with these other mutants, it turns out that, they actually ended up siding with the demons and are now here to take over Otherworld and, by extension, Krakoa and the Earth itself.
Thus upping the stakes a little bit. Mm. So
there is a tournament.
Now our mutants are,
There is a tournament to decide who, you know, basically we're led to believe it's going to be a bunch of fights between the people of Krakoa and the heroes of Arrokoa. I'm going to mispronounce all the names, I'm sure.
Me too.
They have to locate 10 swords, so we have various mutants, a few heavy hitters and a few wild cards sourcing swords so they can compete in the tournament against the far more... the big kind of ongoing theme is that, like, you know, the Krakoa's mutants have lived a life of a good life, essentially, and not a life of hardships.
They're the privileged mutants. Mutants of privilege, even though if you were to ask them, they would not, because of how they've been treated by the humans in the 616.
They're soft.
They're soft compared to Apocalypse's kids.
And we are going to be getting into spoilers in the rest of the episode, but in case you got this far and you're like, what are they talking about? That's our summation. But there is a moment in the middle, so I'm going to start spoiling from now on, where, once they've... the first half of the event is various mutants. Do we have off the top of the head the 10 mutants that are involved?
I made a list of this earlier. I think I can do it. There is Magic, mm-hmm. Cable, Cypher, Gorgon, Wolverine, of course. You can't have an X-Men event without Wolverine.
He's great in this as well. So
yeah, he is.
Captain Britain, Captain Avalon.
Not a mutant.
Cypher, and then...
We've had Cypher.
Oh, I said Cypher already, didn't I?
Oops. Yeah, because we love him.
There's two more left.
We love him. Storm.
Storm, thank you.
Also very good
and
in this.
And I'm just thinking...
And Apocalypse,
fights.
Of course. I don't know why I completely forgot it.
Yeah, so you did it.
Yes. And so,
and obviously Doug has Warlock with him. Cypher has Warlock.
Warlock not given enough dialogue in this event.
No, but it looks like he'll come into his own following in Reign of X, which is... what the next period of X-Men is called. Oh, God.
So. Your next binge, Levins.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
3 months from now, whenever it is. so, yeah, the bulk of the first half of the event is like is basically them going on like quests to try and find their swords. Most of the X-Books just kind of get their general stories put on hiatus while we focus on, like, the one mutant on their team that's involved in the event trying to find their sword. And then midway through the event, there's... Because it started with X of Swords creation, then there was Ten of Swords creation, then there was Ten of Swords stasis, and then there was a final Ten of Swords as well.
Destruction.
And stasis is the one where the tournament starts, and so we have our first, like, you know, duel. Who is it again? It's Magic versus someone, I think.
I think the first one is Betsy versus Iska. Mm-hmm.
That's right,
the unbeatable.
And Betsy Braddock, hero of Excalibur, unfortunately, is the first casualty, or so we think.
Yeah, it's a fairly non-casualty, given that she's like smashed to smithereens. It's clearly not a normal death. And I guess what everyone should know is that if they die on Otherworld, they're not entirely sure they can't bring them back fully the same. It's the only place they don't just escape the sort of resurrection protocols.
Except they seem to have brought back Gorgonfire.
we don't know that entirely yet, right. But they do seem to have. I mean, like, certainly more than poor old Rockslide.
Poor old Rockslide, the mutant that I have no idea what they did before the event.
I am also not particularly up on Rockslide, but everyone was very sad about Rockslide, so I apologize. That's not my entire mutant era. So
after that first fight, where Betsy ends up being turned into glass and smashed into pieces, we were like, oh wow, I wonder what's going to happen in the next fight. And then the next fight turns out to be a wedding, and it's not a fight at all. We have Doug Cipher being forced to marry a terrifying alien creature who he ends up falling in love with. And so that means that, like, both sides get a point. And so suddenly you realize, oh, hold on, this tournament is not going to be what I expected it's going to be. And, like, the next one, I think, is Wolverine versus someone, and it's a fight to the death, and Wolverine kills the guy that he's fighting. And that means that guy who died is actually the winner, because the fight was to the death, the first person to die.
But there's some really sweet ones, like Wolverine and White Sword... having to look at all their victims in a mirror.
Yes, and the first one to cry
first
is the loser.
Obviously Wolverine, because Logan's a sop.
privileged Wolverine.
In a nice way. Yeah, bless him. He actually has, and you know, like, but it was a big relief that Doug got married, because, like, obviously going into it, everyone was most worried about Doug, including Magic.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, including within the comics, because Doug is not a fighter. Doug is obviously a lover and not a fighter. And his sword was Warlock, so I think that was his. That's why Warlock doesn't get to talk as much.
So obviously, like, when I got to that point, I was just like, you know, finishing one issue, then opening up the next one and reading what happened immediately. What was it like reading that week to week when the rug was pulled out from under you and you were like, oh, all of the tournament is rigged and some of these events are quite silly? Were you happy about that or like confused?
The feeling at the time, like on like Twitter and like some of the fan response, was it wasn't the best week for the event, to be honest. I think a lot of people were like, oh, this isn't what we expected, and like I mentioned, I had that disappointment that it wasn't just this straight putt, as it were, because I think that week we also got the Wolverine issue that you had mentioned, where he's fighting Summoner and a few of the other tournament matchups, and it was kind of like just this rapid fire thing that was happening, and so the pace completely changed, where there was this like slow build up. Now it was very quick, and so there was that initial like, oh, this is quite different than what we were expecting. And I think it took a second for it to get back.
To me, I didn't really mind that the actual matchups were weird and funky and messed up and otherworldly, because that seemed fitting. And obviously there was a huge relief about Doug there. But I think for me it was like the fact that some of these contests would only be covered in one panel.
Right.
So I didn't care about it not being sword fighting. I just wanted as much detail as they'd put into this hunt for the swords. So it was adjusting to that. But I think you're right, like a couple of, like the next issue, because I was expecting it, it didn't shock me as much that there were some one panel ones. And I could sort of laugh and enjoy them as more. But I still think looking back on it, I would have liked a bit more on some of, like on them in Otherworld, even if they weren't actually fighting.
So you think 42 issues is a better length for this event?
Yeah, I think maybe that we didn't need quite as many front-ended Hunt for the Sword ones.
Yeah, no, I'll give you that for sure. That lots.
Yeah, I think it's more that. I think they could have been stripped down. I'm almost happy with how the tournament went once I was expecting it. And it was just that build-up. And I think because they had time to flesh it out because of COVID. I mean, but that's the thing, is there's not many issues that I'd pick out individually and say that's the one I'd have cut out. So maybe it's just being a bit like, I'm still going back on how it felt at the time that we were getting this real epic.
Yeah, I think
the fighting didn't end up being quite as epic.
I agree with you that, yeah, the search for the swords, that could have just been one extra long issue. Mm-hmm. Even the first issue of all of them finding the swords, that could have been really fun and well-paced. And then so we could get to spend more time within Otherworld itself. Because, so much of the best parts of the event happened there.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And then it did seem to sort of come to an end quite quickly.
Yeah.
I like that as well. Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I realize.
I think some of the speed was the fact that it was pulled together. It was satisfying. So, I mean, like, I think if it wasn't, there'd be a much bigger criticism. But no, I mean, I really enjoyed it. This is definitely one of the best events Marvel's done in a long time. I think you're right, probably since Secret Wars for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was joking with Siobhan last week that, like, again, it's just yet another one of my, like, favorite Marvel events that also happens to be written by John Hickman.
We're just Hickman,
but,
like, groupies.
I would argue that, like, at least from, you know, I say that, like, as someone that's read so many Hickman books, that I can notice when something is or isn't written by him. And I think a great deal of this event feels like it was written by Tini Howard.
Yeah, this is definitely a Tini Howard event with Hickman there to just say, you know what would help? Do this. Or, you know.
Yeah, and she
yeah, gives... you can see he's a guiding factor, but it's definitely her event from the humor and
just the character,
you know, just some of the madness and the character.
I think you can definitely, like, accuse Hickman of sometimes writing very cold characters. And Tini Howard, like, brings, like, yeah, I think her Betsy, who we've, you know, seen a lot in Excalibur, obviously, is one of my favorite characters in X-Men comics now. And she also writes an excellent villain in Lady Saturnine. But I'm pretty sure she's responsible for like the best take on Apocalypse ever. Apocalypse may be my favorite character of the event. I guess it is his event, so it's not shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. But the book ends with Apocalypse going, "I'm going to go live on Arako now."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, do we get a spin-off book where we get to see what happens? Because I want more Apocalypse. He's my favorite now.
Definitely.
I love a lot of the work they've all done. I mean, like, some of the characters that I was never passionate about, but I'm now, yeah. But Excalibur is, I think, for me, the jewel in the line. So this is always going to be an event I enjoyed. I mean, obviously I'm biased as Captain Britain, yeah. You know, but... And I get to see Brian as well, which I'm so happy about because obviously he's not a mutant. So I'm really happy we get all the Braddocks in here. We get Jamie as well and lots of Brian in his new, as I call it, his MCU outfit. Because tell me Captain Avalon outfit does not look very MCU inspired.
Yes, absolutely. I know. So, like, it is baffling that we haven't got them. I mean, you know, we even have a Spider-Man movie set in London. Surely we can get a little Easter egg. But look, they'll run out of ideas to what to do with their main characters soon. I'm sure we'll get these characters eventually.
Yeah, we'll get them one
day. I realize we haven't given a run-through of the creative team, and especially after Jake put so much effort into writing it all out for us and also making it a public document that I can edit. So, Jake, if you could just read through the creative team for me.
No, I'm changing
the
plan.
You're bringing some Wine Mums energy and Fayfam energy into Serious Issues.
Who have we got writing the event?
For writers, we have Teeny Howard, Jonathan Dickman.
Excellent.
Hickman. Vita Alea, Benjamin Percy, Jerry Buggin, Leo Williams, and Ed Brisson.
And then art was across the board pretty good. There's like, I think all of the artists working on the X books now, I like elements of, but then there are like I really love the characters that Marcus Toe draws in Excalibur, but he doesn't ever do backgrounds, which really stuck. It's so when you're jumping from artist to artist to artist, you notice these things with each issue, like the things that certain artists do better than others. And noticing that like the bulk of Excalibur is just characters talking in front of like a color was very, very like a funny thing to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's kind of like almost a soft house style between the books. Like Marcus Toe is almost like it's like different levels of fidelity. Like Marcus Toe is like low graphic settings, and then some of the other ones it's like increased. Max being Pepe Larraz and RV Sylvia.
They're the best at Marvel House style, for sure. And they have so many ties to books that we've already talked about, like the Avengers No Way Home weekly series. Was it No Way Home? What was it called? No Surrender?
They had No Surrender and then No Way Home.
Okay, cool. They were, yeah, cool.
Or no Road Home.
Whatever it was.
No Road Home.
But they are the artists on that, and so it's kind of nice seeing them here. But yeah, Mahmoud Azra, Leonel Francis Yu, Rod Reis, Phil Noto. I loved any of the Noto issues, and he's on the Cable book, which is probably a great deal of the reason why I love the Cable book.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Victor Bogdanovich, who is one of the main artists on Wolverine. I love his artwork as well. Stefano Caselli's in there, Joshua Cassara, Matteo Lolli, Carmen Carnero, and Carlos Gomez as well. And also a big handful of excellent colorists. The book across the board looked great. Like, there wasn't really an issue where I was like, oh boy, like, this one is someone, you know, not meeting their deadlines and they had to pull in some ringers.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful looking. I'm sure the trade's going to be insanely nice.
Do you reckon they're going to try and cram all this into one big hardcover?
They are.
Oh.
It's coming out for Christmas.
This is the joy of being so behind on everything. You ask,
yeah.
You ask a seemingly unanswerable question and there are definitive answers.
they've actually treated the whole X-Line trades really well, like, and brought them out very quickly throughout.
There's multiple ways you can do it, right? You can either buy an Excalibur trade, or you can buy like the first...
They're the Dawn of X trades, which actually... I don't know, that's a volume whatever now, so yeah, which has them all in.
Wow, that is cool. So they've kept it up, and there's, yeah, well, I mean, it must be a money,
yeah,
a money,
yeah,
machine,
no but... one was sure that, yeah, no one was sure they were going to keep it up, but they have so far, so it's a really nice way of getting it. And of course Marvel Unlimited are now only 3 months behind, so I think Ten of Swords has just started on Marvel Unlimited.
Yes. So if you have Marvel Unlimited, just wait 3 months and you can do what I did and just binge it all. Very fun.
It's a very good way of reading it, honestly.
So we've had a run through of our you know, we know the creatives that worked on it. We know the mutants that were involved. I want to know your favorites. So should we do favorite current X-book comic, favorite current X-book creator, favorite issue of Ten of Swords, and favorite mutant in Ten of Swords? Can we do that? I'm happy to be the starting man.
Yeah,
on this.
You start.
Okay, so I think favorite comic at the moment, the favorite book has got to be Excalibur, written by Tini Howard, who was, you know, one of the main writers of Ten of Swords itself. And I think it's if you weren't going to read all of the tie-in books, but you had to just read one, Excalibur is definitely the book that ties into the event the most. And I think it balances a very like eclectic team of mutants. Who have you got? You've got Betsy, you have
Jubilee,
you have Apocalypse,
Gambit and Rogue.
Oh, they were great.
You have Richter.
Richter, and his boyfriend Apocalypse.
Yeah. I think that was by far the best book for me, the one I look forward to. Like the great, great balance of so many characters, so much weird lore and setup, excellent art for the most part, and I really enjoyed it. I can't remember all the other things that I said I was going to rank and review. Favorite mutant, Apocalypse. I never thought I would love that character so much, but I do, and I think his portrayal in this series is super duper fun.
Favorite issue from Ten of Swords?
Favorite issue, maybe one of the Cable issues. I just found really, really funny and good.
That's because you're a dad.
Oh, you know what? What was the issue where Cable? No, sorry. Where Cried. Cyclops? Maybe it was X-Men 15, where Cyclops? Because I never
where
thought
the X-Men
that
were created. Is what you're saying?
Jean Grey and Cyclops get a message from their son Cable, and he's like, "We're fucked, help." So they put it to the Council of Mutants that, like, hey, we need to go help them. And the Council are like, well, if you go help them, you can't be on the board or whatever anymore.
Yeah, you have to leave. We're closing the gate. You have to leave Krakoa.
And I thought that was such an awesomely written Cyclops, a character that I've never had any particular feelings towards, so much so that I was like, oh, I kind of wish Cyclops was a main character in this event.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's my favorite issue.
Yeah, that was a really solid one.
Mm-hmm. I know there was one more thing I said I was going to do because
the other one was favorite mutant. You've already covered
yeah
that.
Cool.
I think favorite ex-office creative person.
Oh yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give this one to Teeny.
God, I match Levin so much on this. It's definitely. I've already said Excalibur's clearly the book that I'm going to pick.
Yes, you're like, finally, because... representation.
No, but the thing is, I also grew up with Captain Britain, and going into it, like, having Betsy as Captain Britain is fantastic, great, but there was always a little part of me going, but I want to still see what's happening with Brian. Like, I accept he's not a mutant, and these are all mutant books, but and I'm so happy that she hasn't just, like, totally cut... He isn't just like, oh, Brian's at home looking after the kid.
Yes.
And with Megan, and we're just going to only... So I like that we still got the Braddock stuff, because... and it's really hard to talk about, because you don't want to sound sexist about it and go, no, my Captain Britain is male. He's not. I love Betsy as Captain Britain, and the outfit's amazing, but there's part of me that's going, I really would like to see Union Jack again. I'd really like to see Pfizer again, Hussein. You know, our actual female Captain Britain before now, female Muslim Captain Britain. And I hope going forward we get to see some of the other team of the old Excalibur. But I like the central team we have. Like, the only one I don't feel a huge love for is Jubilee. And I don't hate her. I just... She's always been a bit of a mutant to me. I mean, and... But she's working well on the team. I like her as a mom.
Her baby is working extremely well on the team too, in dragon form.
Yeah.
That was a fun element too.
He's doing his biz. That was a fun element. I think the issue that I like most was X-Men 15, because I'm a huge Scott fan. But also because it felt like this is how the event was created, is that Tinny had this path she was taking with Excalibur. And wanting to bring back the Captain Britain Corps and, you know, establish where Brian's place was in it and where Jamie's place was in it and where Saturnine's place is at, mm-hmm. in that whole sort of mythos is. And then Hickman wanted to get to this breaking of the council. And that's kind of where the two came together. And like, there's nothing more amazing than the X-Men being heroes.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree
more. And, you know, the whole big build-up is the build-up, and then the tournament's a little bit silly and fun and sort of defrays some of that tension because you know that the characters you're scared of... Like, I think everyone knew something was going to happen to Betsy. Like, I don't think it was a surprise that, you know, like, whether it was going to be Brian dying and Betsy going off to avenge him, or Betsy dying and Brian having to just deal with whether he was going to be Captain Britain again. But I think Betsy was all, because she's such a central role of the event. But I think like things like we were all genuinely worried about Doug and some of the others. And I think defraying that tension straight away in stasis was actually really good. And that sort of allowed me to enjoy the rest of the tournament, whatever happened. But then coming back and having Scott saying, you know, like, but this is what we do, we're X-Men, and going off to be a hero. And then all these mutants kind of following him, you find out in X of Swords Destruction, and that splash page of all the mutants who've gone with him.
Yep.
Basically sort of saying, that's it, we are the X-Men, and there's all of them. And everyone's favourites are there. And it's going to be really interesting. That's the bit that's like going forward, you're like, yeah, I want to know with both of those things. But I think X-Men 15, because I'm such a huge OG fan of the X-Men because of my age, was just everything I'd ever want. And also that it's nice that they let you go back to Magneto and Xavier not being disappointed with them, but by saying things like, good boy.
Yeah, that was great. Great moment.
You know, and you know, like, and now the kind of who fills in that. And you've got this sense of the whole thing is moving forward. We're not just in the status quo anymore. So, my favourite creative, Tini, but probably also a bit Hickman.
Oh, yeah, you got to give it to Hickman.
You got to give it to Hickman as well for engineering this whole thing and for bringing together this kick-ass team. Like, you know, I don't think there is a too weak a link. Like, I'm sure there are people who like each of them as their best. It's just, you know, this plays into what mine particularly... And what favourite mutant in the event? Well, I'm not going to give it to Scott because, like, you know, he's not in really, really central to the event. So it has to be Doug. I'm going Doug.
Okay, go Doug. All right, Jake, I'm sorry to do this to you. This Zoom conference is going to cut out in 2.5 minutes. So you have 2.5 minutes to answer these very important questions, and then I'll wrap the episode up.
Alrighty. Favorite Marvel X-Men creative right now is Rod Reis. I really like his art style. It's very excellent. Bill Sienkiewicz-esque, and I like that in the modern age. Favorite issue of Ten of Swords would be probably Cable issue 6, which is the final issue of the tournament, but it's also where we get Gorgon versus the White Sword and his 100 swordsmen.
Yes.
And I completely loved that fight, and that's a little bit why I wish it was more like of a straight-up sword tournament. A little bit, just because of how great that fight is. What was the other question?
Best mutant.
Oh, yes, best mutant. In the whole Dawn of X and Ten of Swords, I really love Betsy Braddock as Captain Britain. I didn't really have any feelings towards her before this current era started, and just reading her in these books and getting such an attachment to her has been great. And I've just been loving seeing her on the page, being Captain Britain and whatnot.
Favorite X-book?
Favorite X-book, Excalibur, for sure. Yeah, basically, if you listen to this episode, read Excalibur. It's really good. And I'm really excited because I think Ten of Swords set up a lot for that series going forward by fleshing out Otherworld and all of that stuff and getting to properly explore it in Excalibur. I'm really looking forward to.
Excellent. Well, that about does us. I think we're going to be kicked out of this conference in 1 minute. I tried to upgrade, but I can't remember my account details. But thanks so much to Jake and Rebecca. I'll wrap the episode up once we've said goodbye, but I'll allow you guys to say goodbye first.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for being with me in the middle of the night.
Thank you for waking up.
That's all right.
And I guess we'll see you for the King in Black.
I mean, I'll do it with Marvel Unlimited. Anything's possible.
Yeah, that's true.
That should be their motto.
Hi, this is Levins. Hope you enjoyed that little episode that Jake, Rebecca, and myself recorded last week. Sorry it took so long for me to put it up, especially to Rebecca and Jake, but if you would like to hear more of their excellent thoughts on all things X-Men and all things comic books, you can find Jake at Krokoan Mimosa, excellent username, on Twitter, and Rebecca is at Arbitrary Genius, also excellent username. If you want to find me, I'm at LevDog, LevDowg, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, we have the Serious Issues Facebook group, which you should join if you want to discuss comics with us 24/7, including X-Men, mutants, and all things that aren't those things as well. You can find the Serious Issues Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Serious Issues Podcast. And come and join us. Come have some fun. And well, I'll see you for another episode, hopefully very soon. Thank you so much. Adios.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.